right, here we go. Live It Out of Podcast, episode 6. And we're talking about this week how we follow Jesus together at Two Rivers Church.
Yeah. But yeah, we talked last time about what a disciple is and that we're a church that exists to make disciples. And so there's stuff that we try to do together to make disciples and be disciples at Two Rivers, specifically in our little local church.
Yeah, and you kind of hinted at it last time. I mean, like, it's not outside of what we do on the weekend, you know? So I think often people think of it kind of how you portrayed it as, well, there's maybe the worship experience that I have, and then there's discipleship.
Right.
And we're trying to think about it a little bit more holistically, is the word we would say, a little bit more holistically when it comes to how we think about making disciples. It's since it's at the center of who we are, at the center of the mission of Jesus is to make followers of Jesus, it does seem like each thing that we do should be pointing people towards what it looks like to follow Jesus. So as we jump into the discussion this week, we're calling this the Live It Out podcast. So what is Live It Out and why do we do Live It Out?
Okay. So go way back. I mean, like, I don't even know when we first had something that said Live It Out or might have said Live It Out together. I can't remember. In our bulletins, or as Dave Gruen likes to call them, handouts.
Why do I like to call it a handout?
I don't know. You always, when I first moved here, you were always calling them handouts. Bulletin sounds churchy, right?
Yeah. A bulletin. Where else in life do I get a bulletin?
Yeah, here's your bulletin. So extra, read all about it. That's what it sounds like to me. So you get your bulletin. And so from years ago, I first came here in 2015, and From that time, it was very clear that we taught in our weekend services, expecting that then the idea is we're all going to do something with it. It's not just going to end with the end of a message in a room. And I love that that's always been a conviction of Two Rivers Church. And the way we do Live It Out now, and the way we do our weekend messages, it's just a continuation or a honing of that process of going, We sometimes say, I think we say this in our weight-in class for people who are considering partnering membership at our church. We say we're interested in biblical teaching. I think we put it this way, biblical teaching for life transformation. And so that's what Living It Out is really all about. And these things we use are just tools to guide us along that path.
Yeah. We all need some help. How do you take something from theory and make it real? What's a way that I can work out my faith, to use a phrase from Paul? How do I work out not my salvation, but my faith? How do I put it into motion?
Yeah.
And so there's a piece of it there where it's like, okay, well, what are the, for me, the phrase is simple, daily, and doable.
Yeah.
What is the simple, daily, and doable approach that we can take that says, okay, I have a catalyst to start my day as I follow Jesus. And even that along the way is something that has developed, like you just said. It's developed. It's not what it once was. And we've discovered some stuff along the way. And that's been a fun little journey. So as we have this thing that we call Live It Out, it's a five-day daily discipleship guide. Right? It's a 5-day daily discipleship guide. What if I'm like, okay, I go online, I go on, by the way, my wife made clear that I said in a weekend message that, in my view, the best way to do Live It Out was online.
Yeah.
And she uses the YouVersion Bible app. And she says that's the best way because you can link it right out of the Bible app and it has all your stuff in there and she uses that all the line, so all the time anyway. So yeah, that might be a better way.
I should try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Who knew? All that to say is it's just a point to start our day. I the phrase I like right now, it's a catalyst.
Yeah.
Right? It's a catalyst to as I look at waking up Monday morning, it's a way for me to begin Monday saying, hey, I'm looking to actually follow Jesus today. So with that in mind, how does somebody, they're part of Two Rivers Church, they're a follower of Jesus, they're interested in making other followers of Jesus, they're bought in. How does somebody, what's the intent with that daily discipleship guide? How does somebody use that?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's important. And we didn't say this in the last episode. If somebody didn't hear the last episode, they should go back and listen to it to understand what we're talking about when we say a disciple. But a daily discipleship guide is not about completing the guide is not what it means to be a disciple. You know, discipleship, we talked a little bit about this last time, but discipleship, sometimes people think of as a program. And Live It Out is not discipleship. It's a guide to help you in discipleship. Discipleship is like, I think of the word friendship. Friendship is a state of being. It describes the relationship between two people. They're friends. And so they have a friendship. And they might do a whole bunch of things to nurture that friendship, to experience what it's like to be friends in friendship. And that's what I think of when I think of discipleship. It's the nature of my relationship to Jesus. And so Live It Out isn't what discipleship is. It's just a thing to help me engage with Jesus in that kind of relationship, a discipleship relationship. And so it's meant to be, I just think of it as first and foremost, it's meant to help me engage with Jesus, engage with him by his word, engage with him by the Spirit. And the great advantage of doing that at the beginning of the day, again, you don't have to do it then, but the great advantage then is start a conversation with God that you can then keep coming back to and can continue throughout the day. If he's with me all throughout the day, then let's start talking in the morning and let's keep it going all throughout the day. Let him shape my day that way.
So I would say if someone were to say, I would say the intent is somebody would begin their day with it.
Yeah.
If you're like, well, I run out of time, well, then do what you can to begin your day with it in order that you can finish your day with it. Right. So it's different than what people would express maybe in a sense of a quiet time. It's not expressly this idea. And there's all kinds of models out there how people can have a quiet time. I'm even an advocate for some of those models. But this isn't that. This is sure. This is an opportunity for you to begin to there's some patterns in it in the sense of to remember, hey, what was the point that we talked about this weekend? What was the big idea? What's this? What was this all about as we begin into our week? And then there's an idea of going, okay, wait, I just don't want to take what I learned on the weekend and what Jesus has taught me on Monday and then leave that behind on Tuesday.
Right.
And yet there's also a realization that it's not intended that somehow every day of the week you would have some overwhelming, life-altering encounter with Jesus. It really is a take the next step approach in following Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, God can do whatever he wants, but I just don't think it makes sense to aim for my whole life is going to be changed this morning by God. And if it isn't, then I missed something, or he didn't show up, or I didn't show up. But rather, it's just the way Jesus seems to work with people. It's just day by day, you know, just grinding away at us, reshaping us over time. And that's kind of our approach with Live It Out.
Yeah, you made the point when we were talking earlier, you talked about how the goal isn't to do all the questions.
Yeah.
I mean, if you end up with one question,
right.
Did you pass the Live It Out today?
Right. One question sometimes is just enough. You can wrestle with God over that. And in our next conversation, next episode of the podcast, I think what we'll do is we'll take an example day of Live It Out and just talk through maybe as Dave and I and others are contributing to that too, how we think, well, this might be a way to take one day of Live It Out and how you might use it as a tool to help you engage with God. So we'll do that in our next episodes. We'll get real practical about.
Yeah. And we'll do like, okay, Tim, how do you do live it out? Yeah. I'll be like, okay, this is how I do live it out. Yeah. And like in a practical day in, day out kind of way.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes, okay, live it out is trying to connect with one of the points from the message on the weekend or the big idea. Can you talk a little bit as, for those who don't know, Dave's title here at Two Rivers is teaching pastor. And so as you think of, and
you put a big P on that. Did you notice that? Did you notice
trying
that?
To get it to really pop in the podcast microphone. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things you do is you help integrate these things and put together our sermon series. And we use big ideas when we teach. Can you just talk a little bit about how that's meant to serve the disciple making process?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a conviction that says we can only learn so much at a time. And there's different schools out there when it comes to communicating God's word. Some people call that preaching. There's different schools that are out there. But the idea of a big idea emerging out of the text has been around for a really long time. And it's definitely not anything that is original. This is one of the things that I discovered a while ago. It's actually just how people teach in school how to communicate, but they usually don't call it the big idea. And so one of the things that I developed over time is I was always confused when somebody would say, hey, you have to have a big idea in your message, but you can't tell people what it is, but they should be able to tell it what it is when you get to the end. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Why don't we just tell them what it is? This isn't a trick. We're not
teaching
trying to trick
by
people.
Secrets.
Yes. You know? Yeah. But like, and there's this idea, like somehow if you're a really great communicator, when people get to the other end, they'll be able to tell you. So I guess it's like, I just thought like there's a simpler way. And so, some other folks out there who had big influence on me when it comes to the idea of a big idea, even though we do it different than they do it, they just started calling it the big idea. And I'm like, oh, that's okay for us to just call it the big idea. And doesn't mean we'll always call it that. We could call it the thing or what's the thing? That'd be the same thing. But scripture breaks down into themes. And so it's the reason that we do series is around themes. And when you come out of a text, I can't take everything that might be there and be able to go, how do I run this into my life? But is there one principle that I say, if I were to act on this principle this week, and I were to do that over a span of time, over the course of a year, would I be closer to Jesus at the end of that year? And so that is the idea of a big idea. And it integrates, good use of my favorite word right now,
Tim. I threw that in there for you. Yeah.
You did great. Where it integrates into our disciple-making process is it's setting a trajectory with how do you disciple a whole group or a church? How do you disciple even multiple congregations in the sense of we're a church that now meets on three campuses, and on one of our campuses, we meet in three different venues. Mm-hmm. So you have multiple smaller groups. How do we move them in a common trajectory? And also knowing that people are on different places on the path, but how do we collectively move together being shaped in the image of Christ? And so that's the intent around the big idea and kind of why we do that. And it's not kind of why we do it. It's actually why we do it. And the whole goal is, and you said this earlier, I think we teach this in Waden, that it's all about transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes right out of the Great Commission. I mentioned that at the end of the last episode, but that does, I mean, that is a clear teaching from Jesus. And when he says, he said, go make disciples of all nations, and baptize them, and he says, teach them to obey or teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. I don't think he's saying teach them that they ought to obey everything I commanded you. Like, if someone says teach your son to ride a bike, they're not saying teach him that he should ride a bike, you know?
Right.
Teach him how to do it so that he ends up riding the bike. That's the kind of teaching you should be doing. It should result in him riding the bike. Same thing there. When Jesus says, teach them to obey all that I've commanded, he's saying, teach them how to obey me. You know, how do I become the kind of person who obeys Jesus? Not just tell people these are the rules and you should follow them, but how do I do that? And that's that life transformation piece. And it requires teaching and then engagement and wrestling and chewing on it and arguing maybe with your friends and arguing with God about it. And that's, I think, where we bring in those other elements of live it out, that I'm going to do me and God. We're going to work on that together. But also maybe I'm going to discuss it with family and friends. It's something that stood out, and live it out. And then we've got groups that are discussing that on another level. And all those are meant to be pieces to help us do what Jesus called us to do, and to actually do it, not just know it.
Right. Yeah, I like that. To do it. To do the stuff Jesus taught us to do. And so when we talk about the phrase that we teach towards transformation, if I say transformation, what do you hear?
But we didn't discuss this beforehand, so I don't know if that's what you're going for, but I hear something passive. Like, transformed means changed kind of from the outside. Like, it happened. I didn't do it. I was transformed. You know, does that make sense? Like, at least that's the way I think. That's the way that word strikes me. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a radical change, a transformation. It's a big change, it's a radical change, but it happens to me. I can't transform. So it's something that happens to me, not from within me. That's kind of the way I think of that. What about you? What does that word carry with it?
Yeah, I mean, it carries with it transformation. The idea of a rebirth, going from spiritual death to spiritual life. I mean, the word has to do with metamorphosis, right? Like it's the change that comes from, once again, it's nothing that I did. It's the change that comes, I would say it this way. It's the change that comes from the active work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just gonna make up a definition on the go.
Okay, I like it.
The active work of the Holy Spirit that I cooperate in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good definition. Yeah, active work of the Holy Spirit that I cooperate in. And it's that cooperation part that I doesn't naturally come with that transformation idea for me. I don't know why not, but I think for a long time I thought, oh, it's totally passive. And so when Paul writes, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to me that just sounded like, well, pray that God
renews
your mind.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
And as a high schooler, I thought, well, he's not really doing that. At least he's not doing it as fast as I want. Well, I guess that's it. You know, it's almost like, well, I tried, and he didn't.
Right.
He decided not to. And I never, so coming back to live it out and a guide like that, I didn't realize then, well, wait a second. There are things I can do and need to do to engage with him as he renews my mind, as he transforms my mind and my desires and my thoughts and my heart, and that kind of transformation that you're talking about, it needs to be cooperated with. It needs to be engaged with. So it's not just a passive thing.
So as the, you know, maybe on the weekend I connect with the big idea in some way, shape, or form, am I allowing the active work of the Holy Spirit in me during the week to bring it back to mind, right? Yeah. And so there's a piece of it where I totally understand what it sounds like. Hey, be transformed. Okay, that does sound like something that happens to me, but it's the by renewing your mind. Ooh, that's my part. How do I actively engage my mind
right
around following Jesus.
Yeah.
And as I look back on my journey, I would say it's when I began to make that shift that, wait, there's how I follow Jesus matters. It matters. Yeah. It's not just whatever. And it does require that I make an exchange in my mind in how I think. And I wish it was faster. I wish it happened quicker. And I wish that once I got something that it would stick. But it doesn't seem to stick, right? And so it does seem like it is this ongoing, some steps ahead, some steps back. And even now, like, what is it that Jesus is teaching me right now? That I had an influence in my life a long time ago who taught me the simplicity of the question, what is Jesus teaching you? Mm-hmm. And he's the one who'd said, and if they say patience, ask them, no, really, but what's he teaching you? Because he's always give everybody patience,
right?
Y'all get patience. He's always teaching us patience. Absolutely. That's a given. But what else? And it really made me think, because I don't know that before that I had ever really considered what is Jesus teaching me?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes too, people think that has to be some kind of super profound thing. And it can be simple. It could be the same thing over a long stretch of time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've discovered. Like, it may take me a long time that he's teaching me the same thing. There was a season in my life where Exodus, is it 14:14? I'm going to look that up real quick just to make sure I get that right. But Jesus is teaching me over and over again, I am your defender. You are not the defender of you. And I remember that the Lord will fight for you and you have only to be silent. Yeah. Exodus 14:14. And going, and it wasn't in a conflict the way like I needed someone to fight for me, uh-huh. but in more like I didn't need to defend me. And I just remember over and over again. And when I feel like Jesus is really speaking to me, I don't know if it's he uses David, like in my life, right?
Really?
A lot of times. It's not Dave. When I feel like God is communicating to me,
yeah.
And it's like, David, you don't have to be the defender of you, right? You are not, you don't have to defend you.
Yeah.
And that happened. It wasn't like, hey, I had that on Monday and by Tuesday I was on to the next thing.
Right.
And then by Thursday I had it all figured out. And so we were on to the next lesson. That was months, if not longer. That was months where it was like the same thing. God, what are you teaching me?
And everyone I know who I've gotten close enough to see what their life with Jesus is like, that's the way it is. So I might look at myself and go, why am I such an idiot? Why do I keep, you know, needing the same lesson over and over again? But it seems like everybody goes that way. So it doesn't mean I need to give up, or I'm missing something. It's the reality that that God works sometimes slowly over months or sometimes years on something. And I'll also say this: I have learned to like the question, "What is God teaching you? What's He been teaching you lately?" As opposed to a question I used to get asked sometimes as a college student that I became very cynical about, which was, "How's your walk?
Oh,
how's your walk with Jesus?" And I got real cynical about that, like. Because I think I felt like, well, I'm not very good at it. So you want me to answer that every time? And, I just recently was reading a little tiny book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. I think that's what it's
called.
And in there, he cautions about, like, he basically says, like, it's not healthy to constantly be assessing your relationship with God. What's my relationship with God like today? What's my relationship with God?
Yeah, like on a grading scale.
Yeah. That's not really healthy to obsess over it that way. But a great question is to ponder, what's God been teaching me? What's He working on? That's different than, is my relationship with Him good? Is it bad? No, I have a relationship with Him. He has adopted me into His family. We have a relationship. Father, Son, Jesus and I are brothers. Okay, we have a relationship. well, what's he working on in that? That's a different question, and I like it.
And not always thinking that it's going to be some massive thing is also freeing for me. Like, it's okay to be like, what is Jesus teaching you right now? It's okay to say, he's teaching me how much he actually loves me.
Yeah.
And for me, it would be like, okay, Jesus is teaching me season. Like, Jesus actually likes me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's huge for me. That's a huge area of insecurity in my life. Right. Of course Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Cause he has to. Right. He loves everybody.
Right. He loves everybody. Yeah.
But would he actually like me? That's a far more significant thing. And so if somebody were like, oh yeah, it's going to be okay. Jesus loves you. Hey, that's awesome. He loves you too. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But does he like you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of how I think about that. When it comes to circling back a little bit. So when we're teaching on a weekend and talking about the idea of transformation, teaching towards transformation, and the idea of information, these two things aren't disconnected. And I think sometimes when people hear that, it does require work and investment. And so while we don't believe that God is grading on a scale and you get an A if you read your Bible every day, there is some kind of catalyst that comes from learning scripture. And that requires some kind of information input, mm-hmm. right? But it can't just stay there. Like, information, but greater understanding is also essential. And so there's a tension in all of this that we all walk in, the tension of, okay, well, am I putting scripture in to give the Holy Spirit material to shape me in the image of Christ? That's how I think of Live It Out.
Yeah.
Am I giving the Holy Spirit material to work with to shape me to look more like Jesus? And then one week, we introduced worship music.
Yes. Just as an experiment.
As an experiment. And I wish we would document some of this stuff along the way. Because we look back and we're like, man, this thing has just morphed over time and it's changed. And if you gave up on Live It Out long ago, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But if you did, or else, you know, you're not really, I want to encourage you to hang with it. Because once it gets to be a rhythm, it's not about how long you do it. In fact, if you just miss it, somebody I work with, True Confession, they were like, I just feel really bad because all I do, you know, I just had time to listen to the song. And I was like, count it.
Right.
Count it. It's okay. Yeah. Like God gets where you are in life today, but at least you have the song. So I remember, okay? I do remember. The first week, I don't remember the why we did it, but I do remember the time frame. And we were meeting with a bunch of other churches talking about Word and Spirit core values.
Okay.
And during that week, we were meeting together, and Aaron, our worship pastor, we had written Live It Out the week before, uh-huh. and we had included worship music. And I remember that morning, I'd listened to the song, and I didn't listen to worship music. I listened to worship music. I also listened to a lot of country music. And I listened to worship music. But I didn't do it as part of like a daily discipline, uh-huh. right? So I'm listening to this song that morning, and I can't remember what it was that I had going through my mind at the time. But I get in my car, and the lyrics of that song are running through my head.
Yeah.
And I remember I texted the two of you. This actually works.
Right.
Who knew? Who knew this works. Actually works? Like, this works. I'm not going to say that it's going to work all the time, but I was like, oh, wow. That shaped how I was thinking about whatever, because I can't even remember what it was. Yeah. I just remember that the trajectory of my thoughts, whatever concern I might have had or something that I was thinking about, got shaped because there were lyrics of a song that shaped, like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And so it is significant. And I've heard from some folks at Two Rivers who talked about how significant that has been for them, that including just even one worship song as part of a daily rhythm has, God has used it to encourage their transformation.
Yeah. Now, what I want to find out, well, you can't say it now. We'll talk about it in the next episode. I want to know when you listen to the song.
Okay.
In, you know, like, okay, so you got Live It Out. It's got a passage of scripture. It says read it or listen to it usually. It's got some questions. It's got a song to listen to. I want to know where in that mix you listen to the song, because I know where I do.
Okay.
And I wonder if it's the same or if it's different.
Yeah. So. We'll have to ask some questions too between now and when we do our next episode on how other people maybe do it a little bit. And then maybe we'll give something we haven't talked about. Maybe we'll give some behind the scenes.
Okay.
Like, how does this thing come about in a week?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That'd be good.
So, yeah, give us a little insight into, maybe we want to talk a little bit about how we get together once a week and sermon meeting, how and nothing's done on an island here when it comes to develop. And discipling is really not just, hey, who's the communicator on the weekend, but it really is coming from a team, all the way down to the worship songs that we sing, to the message that is communicated, to live it out. It really is supposed to be a cohesive and integrated package. So wish that, Tim, as we get ready to depart, we got to hold tradition. What's your last word, Tim?
Oh my goodness. I don't have a last word on this one. Live it out, everybody. live it out.
Live it out.
It's not just because I'm involved in putting some of these pieces together, you know, that integrated package, and I'm trying to like cover myself. It's not just that. I really feel like maybe you're going to think this is terrible. Have a low expectation or a low bar for those, like for what that material will do, but a really high expectation for what God will do with it. You know?
Yep.
Just, there'll be people will say, what's this question? Live it out. I don't really know how to answer that. And I'll say, oh yeah, I don't know how to answer that either. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a good question. I don't know. I mean, we're trying to write good questions.
Yeah.
But the engagement with God that can come out of that, that's the real goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about how we do that next time. So, all right, that's it. And we'll see you in the next episode.